This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you on Angels Radio Los Angeles, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. Thank you for tuning in if you're listening on the radio, or thank you for listening to the podcast. Before we get into the show, this week was a devastating one up north. We thought we'd have to be concerned with hurricanes and Mother Nature and things like that here in Florida, but our former hometown, Mantua, New Jersey, and Mullica Hill, New Jersey, got tornado came through.
And Philadelphia.
And Philly. Philly's underwater. So many parts of up north with this tornado. And I know Louisiana was hit hard, and there's people who are out of power. Yep. For like, can you imagine, for 20 days? And
I cannot.
I can't either. So our hearts go out to everybody up north, in Louisiana, wherever you are, if you're dealing with this latest storm and the tornadoes and everything else. We're praying for you. And I know a lot of people have been, their lives are turned upside down. And that's going to lead us into a little bit of what we want to talk about today. Our guest this week is former Major League Baseball catcher Nick Hundley, who is now a director of Team Freedom for IJM. Nick does excellent work with International Justice Mission as they do everything they possibly can to fight against human trafficking and slavery. So stay tuned for that conversation. But you had something on your heart that you wanted to talk about, and it kind of fits in with what's going on. And you pointed out to me John 14, where Jesus is comforting his disciples at a time that they needed comfort. And I think there's a lot of us who need comfort sometimes on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much that we go through. But as you pointed out in this verse, and you said John 14, 1, I'm going to read a little bit longer. I'm going to go 1-4, and it says, "Do not let your hearts," this is Jesus talking, "do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Yeah. We have so many minor things that we allow to bother us immensely during the course of a day. As you and I are going through some kitchen remodel right now, and a few things here and there in our home, and little things that blow up, and you know, we take it out of, you know, overemphasize it, and we exaggerate, and we blow it out of proportion, and we go like, "Oh my God, I just want this." We haven't had a functioning kitchen now for about 4 or 5 days, which
more than that, right? It's kind of frustrating.
It is frustrating.
You look at what's happening in the world, and you're like, I need to shut up. You know,
yep.
Like I need bottom to really line. Stop. You know, because sometimes when you're going through something, you really have to look at the context of what's happening and compare it to what's happening out there in the world, and you just realize that your troubles are really stupid. And we're not like saying they don't exist, but just compared to the world and what's happening, they're really minor, you know? And in the end, you know, the funny thing is everything in the end works out. Like everything works out. There's not one thing that did not work out before. And because we believe in God, we believe that he will work everything for our good. And we just need to put our trust in him. Everything will work out. We just need to stop stressing. We need to stop thinking, no, it's the end of the world. This is the worst thing ever. It's going to work out.
Be patient.
Yeah, pray about it.
Patience,
you know?
My goodness.
Like,
patience.
I have to remind myself to just stop and pray without, like, freaking out. Because I tend to freak out, you know?
You?
Yeah. You too. Yeah,
I was fighting. So
here, you're fighting here, with the mirror today.
Today, every day there's a daily problem fighting with something, and
hanging,
you know,
stuff.
Now you talk about man against the machine. Wow. Now it's man against like everything else, because
yes,
I don't know who decided that certain things needed to have two different hangers on, right? If everything that needed to be hung around the house that you're asking me to hang, from mirrors, pictures, whatever they may be, if they all had one hole and a hanger, it would make my life incredibly easier. It would be so much easier. But when you have to line them both up and get the level out, make sure it blows my mind. But here I am going on and on and on about something so silly and stupid.
See what I'm saying? Hanging a mirror, like, seriously? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm thinking, I'm thinking of those poor people whose homes were just destroyed.
Like, legit flattened by a tornado.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine going through that.
The thing is, too, like, it's one thing if you live in a zone where this happens. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, expected. Yeah. It's another when you have never experienced something like that. You've never even heard of it.
At any point.
Then this hits, and you're like, whoa, where did this come from? Life is unpredictable, and things just happen, and... Thank God we have Jesus. That's all I can say. Because he will just... He'll help us. He'll help in any way, shape, or form. And sometimes it's in a way of sending people, sending help, or send money, or send whatever. Like, I saw a lot of people and churches that's coming together and helping people. And
it's a beautiful thing.
And cleaning and donating. And that's a really awesome thing to come together and do that. And just, like...
I reached out to our friend Kyle, Pastor Kyle Horner, who was a part of this show for so long. And he lives over there in Mullica Hill. And he said they're okay, but he said they already have the food truck, Thy Kingdom Come, in motion, ready to respond. And they were just going out there and going to feed first responders and to feed the displaced families. And you see... so many people rallying around each other. It's an awesome thing.
I don't know why it takes a disaster to do that, but thank God people come together.
Not for TKC. You know what I mean? They're there all the time.
No, not that. But I'm just saying in general. But I'm just happy
for humanity
and that humans are still good. Like, they're still good in the world. Like, thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, we can continue to pray, donate whatever we can. Hopefully we can, you know, I don't know. We're far away. But we still have family there. We still have friends there.
I asked Kyle, what can I do? He said, pray right now. I said, what can I do? And he was like, pray. And and here's the thing. In the middle of the storm, right, this is literal, in the middle of that storm, in the middle of life and chaos and whatever's going on, Jesus is there, and he's telling us, as he comforted the disciples in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Mm-hmm. He is that calm, that voice of calm that we need. Sometimes I'm going like wild and crazy over stupid things, and I need a voice of calm. And sometimes it's you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's one of our little girls who just comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They have a knack for just like, coming in and just giving me a hug and then leaving and then going, I just knew you needed a hug.
Right, right. They're good at that, and they can read the vibes. They can read the atmosphere. They're good at that.
But Jesus, he's that ever steady presence. We may not always have someone around us in that moment. We may not always have a friend, a family member, a child, whoever it is, in that moment that we need to be calm, in that moment where we need to recognize that no matter how difficult our circumstances now, our storm is now, our devastation is now, Jesus is there.
Mm-hmm.
Promised us, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am there for you. I will be there with you. He is always there for us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just take that for granted or forget about it in that moment and don't bother to reach out. And why not? Like, if I could tell you that there is someone who will always help you, if there is someone out there who will never let you down, wouldn't you always want to run to that person? That's Jesus.
I'm going to tell them the story of what happened this week, really, really quick. We lost like a lot of our, well, didn't lose it, but we misplaced very important information.
Yeah, yeah.
Very important information. And we could not find it for like half the day. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And we found it. We found it. And
there was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of anger. But we found it.
The only thing that worked was prayers.
When
that's
we
all
were
I
calm,
can say.
And yeah. we got calm, and mm-hmm. we found it. And yeah. Jesus was there. Up next, you're going to hear from Nick Hundley. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh. And Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is Trevor Story, Colorado Rockies. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. You can listen on any of the podcast platforms. You'll hear full interviews on there. Be sure to follow us also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend about the show. I want to take a minute to thank our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have so many various packages. We can cater specifically to fill your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help us out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel Store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Nick Hundley, played 13 seasons in the majors with San Diego, Baltimore, Colorado, San Francisco, and Oakland. He caught almost 1,000 games. His dad, Tim, is a longtime college football coach. We talked baseball. We talked football. We talked about his role now with IJM, International Justice Mission. Here is my conversation with Nick Hundley.
Nick, before we talk about your role with IJM, which is something that I'm extremely excited about, tell me about your dad, man. He's a football coach. He's coached in college. How did you end up playing baseball? I always think of a catcher as like a linebacker, as a middle linebacker in the NFL. Tell me a little bit about your dad and how you ended up not playing football, but ended up in the major leagues.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I had an awesome upbringing with my parents. My dad played college football. He played safety and linebacker at Western Oregon. And then he coached collegiately for 41 years. Then he coached 1 year professionally, but mostly collegiately. So he was a good talent evaluator, too. That's how he lasted that long. So he didn't recruit me. That's how I played baseball. You know? You can tell. Yeah, so I played a little bit. I played a little safety and a little quarterback, too. But he's like, hey, go play baseball if that's what you're passionate about. And, you know, I got a couple of recruiting letters from my smaller schools like Eastern Washington or Idaho, but I'm 100% sure my dad knew the coaches there. So I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it was great. He was always super upfront with us. And hey, if you want to do something, you're passionate about it, go do it. He never really, you know, forced us into anything. But yeah, the lack of recruitment by Tim Hundley when he was at the University of Washington was a pretty good sign that I needed to go play baseball.
Well, so it was never even a difficult decision for you, football or baseball. You played both, but you knew your future was in baseball. And ultimately, it was a tremendous decision because you played in the big leagues for a long period of time. What was that process like for you working your way up from playing ball into the minor leagues, into the majors, getting drafted and sticking around for so long? Because that's a tremendous accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, you know, I've loved not every minute of the grind to come up, but putting in the time in the minor leagues, in college, going to those 6 a.m. workouts, being in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in a small town, and bussing 12 hours and eating dinner out of a 7-Eleven because that's the only place that's open. You know, having beef jerky and chips for dinner, things like that. Rooming with 6 guys in an apartment in spring training, things like that. You don't really, you know, forget those times. You know, everybody wants to see the guys on TV hitting home runs, you know, celebrating, flying on charters, things like that. But the days where you grind in the minor leagues with the boys and put it together from there, those are kind of some lifelong memories and friendships that I'll never forget. So I cherish those times for sure.
Now, you were drafted originally by the Marlins and stayed in school, ended up coming out after going to University of Arizona, and you were drafted in the second round then by the San Diego Padres. Is that a hard decision to make when you're in high school? You know, being a fifth round pick is nothing to scoff at. That's incredible. And to pass that opportunity up to basically, you're betting on yourself because now you go to college and you know anything can happen and you end up making the right decision.
Yeah. For our family, it was definitely the right decision. You know, with my dad being in collegiate athletics, my mom was really supportive of the college experience as well. I didn't think there was a very good chance of me signing at a high school wherever I got drafted. You know, obviously there's some guys that get drafted really high and get paid really well, and it's hard to turn that down. But the college experience was priceless for me. I mean, I met my wife there, was married by the FCA leader in Tucson, again, Richard Lopez, just some very, very awesome people. So yeah, that part, I never really thought about professional baseball until I did get to college. It was always kind of college baseball. And then once I got to college, stopped professionally.
What were Sundays like for you and your family growing up? Because if your dad's coaching in college and I would imagine he could be on the road on a Sunday, whatever it is, but he's working Saturday. Maybe there's some downtime on Sunday. You got church, you got football. Do you watch the NFL? Are you out there playing baseball year round in different leagues? What were those days like for you as a kid?
Yeah, weekends were amazing. You know, me and my brother were ball boys at the Rose Bowl when my dad was at UCLA. We were, you know, holding cords at Colorado when the coaches had the cords on their headsets still and trying not to get tangled up. And yeah, the Saturdays were amazing. And Sundays were awesome too, because my dad had some time off and we could spend some time at church in the morning. Hectic every now and then. I remember one church service where my dad came in and got me and my brother and the head coach that he was working for got fired during church. So we jumped out of church and I had to go make some calls, but you know, a little hectic every now and then, but yeah, we would, you know, whatever. I remember my dad was gone a lot, you know, with recruiting and coaching, but whenever he was home, he was home. He was with us. So I don't remember him being gone that much because he was so present when we were there, which was a huge blessing for me and my brother. Like, my brother was a wrestler in high school, played baseball and a couple other sports. And, you know, we'd go shoot hoops or, you know, he'd throw batting practice. I retired when I was 36 and he still throws – he just still threw batting practice to me in the offseason. So wow. I was really fortunate. So whatever we were doing that Sunday, we had some time, you know, until he had to go break down the film and go out and work a little bit more. But man, whenever he was around, he was with us. So it was really fun. Weekends were the best.
Man, it's a great lesson, especially for like as I'm going through this period, you know, this the chapter of moving and busy and this and that, to be home and be able to work from home sometimes, but be present with your kids when you are home. And it's just a great, it's a great reminder. And appreciate you sharing that about your dad being able to do that, because that's a difficult life that he's got when he's a football coach and all the things that can pull you in different directions. You end up playing in the majors, man, as I said earlier, 12 seasons in the big leagues. When you think back, and you just recently retired, played as recently as 2019, do you have a moment that you think of as like my proudest accomplishment?
Yeah, oh man. I think, you know, getting called up for the first time. In 2008, my rookie year, I debuted July 4th, and we were in Sacramento, I called my parents and told them I was going up and had to kind of hang up on them because I couldn't get through it. You know, I don't want to break down too much. There's a lot. I think my oldest daughter, Allie, was born in 2013. Our first child, me and my wife, Amy. The next game, I took them home from the hospital, went and played that night and hit a home run. My first game back was one of the most emotional things ever. There's one year was pretty special. I hit a home run on Mother's Day and Father's Day with both my parents in the stands. That was a fun little couple days.
That's pretty cool. Was that when you were in San Diego, Baltimore, Colorado?
San Fran.
Okay.
And it worked out good because, you know, those holidays are always on a Sunday, you know, and Buster Posey was the catcher. So I was the backup. So I would play the day games, you know, so I'd get in there and play on the day games and have a chance to do those things. So very fortunate to do that stuff. Things like that, you know, playing in the playoffs, you know, anything that has to do with your teammates, recognize you as a guy they want on your team, like being around, anything like that. Those are great memories.
You had some great pitchers there in San Fran, Baumgartner being one of them. A lengthy career. Does anybody stand out to you as one of maybe your favorite guys to catch or made it easier on you because you put down a signal and they're right there in sync with you? Anything like that?
Yeah, when I came up my rookie year, my first couple years, I was really fortunate. I had some real, real big time arms and big time people. Like I caught Trevor Hoffman, Greg Maddux, guys like Chris Young. There were some guys on that team that are first ballot Hall of Famers. And one game caught Greg Maddux, one of his, like, I think it was a 302nd win. And like Trevor Hoffman's 590th, something crazy. Like, why am I here? You know, why am I doing this? So, but there were some really good mentors for me. I used to sit around after games and Greg Maddux never missed a pitch. He was, whether he was pitched or not, he was always on the bench, always talking the game, whether I was 2 days in the big leagues or somebody had 10 years. And he gave me some really good advice coming up. He's like, hey, when you're a rookie in the locker room, you know, you carry the drinks, you do the rookie things. But when you're on the field, you're catching, you're in charge. So go take control. So that was huge. That freed me up a bunch to go out there and play my game, no matter how long I had in the league.
After your career, you served briefly as a senior director of baseball operations for Major League Baseball. What was that? What did that entail?
So we did a lot of long-term strategy, growth of the game. A guy I caught here in San Diego who's now the GM of the Rangers, Chris Young, he hired me on. He was the president of baseball operations. And we were kind of tasked with how do we grow this game get a younger demographic to view in a world where attention spans are shrinking. The game is getting longer, and that's the exact opposite of what we need to do. So the action in the game, how do we get more people interested? So it was a great, great job. It was a great challenge. And then obviously COVID hit right when I, like a month after I got hired, and that just completely changed a lot of the job description and figuring out how to play, where to play, when to play, if we can, how to keep guys safe, families, staffs, what that looks like for how do we serve players and that stuff too. So it was a good challenge.
Those are constant questions that I hear about Major League Baseball. How do we make the game shorter? How do we do this? How do we change the game? And And then I get caught up sometimes in being a purist and a traditionalist. And I'm like, I just love the game the way it is. Play. I don't care if it's 5 hours long. I don't care if it's 6 hours long, especially if I'm not there covering baseball game and I just have it on in the background. You don't hear that with the NFL. It's the way it is the way it is. And people buy into it and they love it. And the game is it's thriving and everything. Did you ever, when you were in that role, look at what the NFL is doing and try to maybe borrow from those ideas? Did you guys do anything like that? Look around maybe at the NBA and see, what can we take from here? What can we learn from here?
For sure. There's a lot of interleague dialogue, for sure. And, you know, I think something that baseball, you know, I don't think it's the length of the game, but maybe like the lack of action in the game, you know, the walks, the strikeouts, the time between balls and play, things like that, where it is a detriment to the viewing experience, for sure. If you have a game that's 3 hours and 37 minutes long, but it's 3-2 or 4-2, where there's not a whole lot of action going on, that's probably not the best viewing experience to have, right? So the NFL has a lot of action and definitely moving. But at the same time, they've also, you know, tried new things like the pass interference being reviewable, things like that, new rules, moving the kicker back. They've been innovative in that, and some have worked and some haven't, and they haven't been scared to try something out, have it not work, and then reverse course. So, and I think that was a big thing that Chris was talking about in the office. It's like, hey, we need to make some adjustments. And if they don't work, we need to stand up and say it didn't work and move on from it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward, for sure.
From MLB, you end up joining, and I love the hat as you're wearing there, Team Freedom International Justice Mission. The tremendous work that they do rescuing people from slavery, children trapped in slavery, human trafficking. What led you to that position? And tell me a little bit about your role with IJN.
Yeah, so it goes all the way back to when my first daughter was born, Allie, in 2013. The next year, we were in a Bible study in spring training, and a good buddy of mine, he's the chaplain of the Diamondbacks, had worked for an organization, an aftercare home in the Philippines, and we rescue girls out of abuse and trafficking situations. And two of the girls that had been rescued and been, you know, discipled in the home, and they came to America and shared their testimony. And me and my wife, you know, get into too many details in their stories, but me and my wife had this 6-month-old baby girl in our arms during the Bible study. Said, what would be the worst thing that would ever happen to her in her life? And what those two girls just shared, that was 100% it. And so we got involved with the aftercare home there. And then one of our kind of main goals, or like our niche, is girls that are ready to prosecute their offenders, which takes unbelievable courage, especially in another country where the justice system doesn't function like the one here in America. You know, you might have to testify 10 times, you know, in the same, just relive this experience over and over again. So, you know, we got involved in that, and watching these girls, the courage they had, and then how they, if we didn't have money for lawyers, they didn't get justice in these cases. And just because we play a game of baseball that's entertaining on TV in America, you know, you have the ability to support these girls who are going through horrific trials. We had that ability to say, no, like we can get them legal representation. And that brought me into the IJM world, where I was like, who's protecting these people who don't have the means to protect themselves? And so was fortunate to meet a lot of cool people from IJM that joined the Team Freedom side. But the genesis was just hearing girls' stories of how they've been rescued and redeemed, and then how are we defending them?
What's your day-to-day work with IJM like right now? I had the privilege and the pleasure of speaking with Donald Brown, who is part of IJM and Team Freedom, maybe a couple months ago. And it's just a daily, you know, starting your day off in those meetings and in a prayer and in the word. And then everything that they do seems like it's purpose-driven. What is your day-to-day like experience?
Yeah. So Donald Brown, I've known Donald for a long time. And then he called me in March and said, we're going to expand this Team Freedom. He's the director of Team Freedom. He said, want to come on and expand this into the baseball world even more. And we have some great support from athletes and baseball athletes and things like that. So We have some great support from the baseball world and moving into golf. And the day-to-day is, you know, we open up. I'm on the West Coast, so start the day in prayer and worship. It's amazing how every day we come together as an organization and spend 30 minutes in prayer and just talk about what's going on. And then, you know, my job is to facilitate if there's any athletes that want to get involved in the cause, whether that be using their platform, their voice, advocate for different parts of the world. You know, IJM is all over the world. That's what I love about it. You know, we're working in every region. And so guys' passions lie in different areas, right? So if we can help guys in what they're passionate about, I'm all for it. And then I'll do some, you know, some church speaking, some public speaking, some engagement, things like that. But it's amazing the voice that athletes have to move power. So if we can help people in terrible situations that can't defend themselves, just based on the fact that we are entertainers in America, I'm all for it.
It's incredible. It's incredible how we use that platform and whether it's to share about the wonderful word of Jesus Christ or to use it to effectuate change and positive change and like you guys are doing through International Justice Mission. Nick, how did you grow in your faith? How did you come to Christ? Is that something that you developed at a young age? In the big leagues, minors, college, when did that happen?
You know, I was really fortunate. My parents were solid believers and they lived it out. You know, and one of my favorite verses is Proverbs says, "Blessed are the sons of men who lives with integrity." And I feel like my parents lived with integrity and I'm reaping the benefits of that just in my faith and that side. So being around them and then as I went out on my own, being around some really, really special people that knew Jesus way better than I did. And poured into me and discipled me. I'm still being discipled by those guys. So guys like Richard Lopez, who married me, Brian Hummel with the Diamondbacks, just awesome, awesome men of faith. And then wanting to impart that faith on my girls, you know, my wife, and grow in our relationship. So that's the motivation. It's like take what I've been given, and spread it. Like, you know, my buddy Brian says, you want to be a river, not a pond, right? So what you take in, you want to keep going out. You want that always to go out. So that's kind of my faith journey now is whatever I learn, whatever I get, I want that to go out as fast as it can.
That's beautiful, man. Well, as a girl dad, I know we have that in common. I can appreciate wanting to pass that on and share that with our children. Thank you, man, so much for all the work that you do with IJM, Team Freedom. I love it. It's been a tremendous partnership that we've been blessed to come together. My wife and I are so passionate about helping to fight against trafficking and children and slavery. And through the tremendous work that you guys do, I know you're making a difference. You guys are making a major impact. So thank you so much for just sharing a little bit.
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate you having me on. And I, you know, the whole process of this IJM journey and why I joined was I love having the aftercare home in the Philippines. I love meeting these girls. I love being involved in their lives. But also, what happens if there was no need for an aftercare home, right? And that's the IJM mission. That's the IJM goal, is to stop it where you don't need these aftercare homes all over the world. So that was like, okay, I'm all in. I'm ready to go. So anytime, I'm really excited to be on. Anytime to talk to another girl dad, hang out, talk football, talk baseball, whatever you want, Rob, I'm in.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Nick Huntley. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence.
We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.